Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. So welcome once again. We got some off-season news for you. Lacrosse ends on a sour note. Actually caught me quite a bit by surprise. Football, little football news. The primetime game schedule was announced. And basketball, got some news with Brissett and Battle. Mostly with Brissett there. And the final recruiting rankings came out. There were some rule changes, and Syracuse basketball is going to take a trip to Italy. We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, oh, look, here's the deal. Summertime, it's summertime, and if it ever stops raining in Syracuse and you decide to go to a concert or something, I have the perfect thing for you. I got the perfect thing for you. SeatGeek is a new network sponsor for Armchair All-Americans. And what they do is when you go to their website, you type in what you want to see or where you want to go, what game you want to see, or even Broadway shows, and you type that in, and what it does is it scans the web for you. And what it'll do is it'll rate what it finds on ticket prices 0 to 10, and it lets you know whether you're getting the best bang for your buck by giving you markers, a green dot, that's a great deal, a yellow dot, that's a decent deal, and a red dot, that is not a good deal.
No go.
No, don't bite on the red. Don't bite on the red. Use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers or a couple sodas at the stadium or wherever you go. So what are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's and events, and we have the tickets. So, let's see. Lacrosse. Man, I'm a little upset about the lacrosse. I was really upset during the game because, I mean, we just watched the ACC tournament. It was like 3 weeks in between, so it's like, geez. You know, well, I guess we were out so early. I guess the conference championships lasted that long. We were just done so quick. But The two games very similar. In the NCAA tournament game, just lack of possessions. Joe, I mean, you watched it in the fourth quarter. They were up 12-8 towards the end of the third quarter, and then And then in the
I think they scored their last goal with like 3:31 to go in the third quarter. Well, they scored one with 20 seconds to go,
but which was, you know, null and void basically. It was just trying to close the gap there. But you know, they couldn't win a face-off.
No, that was frustrating. That's always frustrating.
And that was it. That was the story there. And, you know, with lacrosse, and we've talked about it, one of the best things about that sport is if you score, you can get the ball back. And that's what North Carolina did to us, and that's what Loyola did. So
It was, again, you said frustrating because in the beginning of the year, we were kind of up and down, didn't know what we were going to get. Then we had some comeback games, you know, where we made some good comebacks and it started looked like we were starting to get it in gear, and then we were playing really well. And then, like we talked about, it kind of just fell apart in the ACC tournament because they had a lead against North Carolina, and then North Carolina came back and won.
That was a 4-goal lead as well.
Yeah.
It's like 7-11.
The same thing happened with Loyola. It was the same thing without being able to win face-offs, so it just was a frustrating end of the season because I thought we definitely had the offensive firepower to and a pretty good goalie and defense to make a run. But when you just
Loyola's
keep giving the ball
too.
Back, you know,
yeah, Loyola's goalie too. You get handed to him, I guess. He was killing it, so he's catching everything. It's the first time the Orange have failed to win an NCAA tournament in back-to-back seasons since 1981-82.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, hey, women's lacrosse is still in it, so.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. It's not the same sport, man. I'm just going to say it.
I was, hey, look.
It is not the same sport. I don't know. It's like field hockey with sticks in the air instead of on the ground.
Either way.
You ever try to play with a girls lacrosse stick? My daughter has one. We tried getting her into it. Dude, it's hard. It's terrible.
It's a growing sport.
It's a growing sport. No, it's not.
Hey, I don't want to argue this.
Hey, it's getting big down south. Girls and boys lacrosse is getting big down south. Yes. But girls lacrosse and boys lacrosse is two totally different sports. The rules are totally different. The play is totally different.
Doesn't mean they're not both growing.
Touche. Two things can be true at the same time, Joe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The Orange have not won a title since 09. And I was reading something. It's like, oh, since 09. I mean, yeah, it's kind of a long time, but... I mean, I don't know. I guess it's because our expectations, right, Joe, with the lacrosse program. So you got Desco; they're calling for his head. Obviously, that probably is not going to happen.
Like we talked about, it's
what have you done for me lately?
It's a growing sport. It's a growing sport. Yeah, but it's a growing sport. It's not gone are the days where you only have a top four or five powerhouses. It's grown so much that you get. I mean, Penn State was number one. They were the number one team going to the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, that didn't happen in the past. You know, Rutgers had a good team this year. So, it's been growing, and we just don't get the best of the best anymore.
There's more competition for recruiting.
Yes, absolutely. Like
they haven't been to a Final Four since 2013, and it marked, I think, the third time in the last 6 years where they were knocked out in the first round. So, better luck next year. So, football, we have just some brief news, some exciting news. Where'd Coach rank? Coach rank preseason, well, they rank the coaches when you come in like 27th.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And, Dante Strickland.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. There's a lot of coaches in the nation. I mean, He's getting recognition. I'm fine with that. Dante Strickland earned a contract for a spot in the Cardinals mini camp as a member of the 90-man roster. So congrats to him on that. It'd be interesting to see how they decide to talk about a new coach trying to build something. See how they plan to use him if they do and what happens there. So good luck to him in that. Now the fun stuff for football. So three primetime games, and we've got Thursday, October 10th, these are not in any particular order. We'll save the best for last. October 10th, NC State. It's a Thursday. It's
awful.
Right? I know.
Well,
I'll take primetime Friday, Saturday.
There's a lot of people, but if you plan on going to that game.
Right. Yeah, right. But here's the thing, too. It's going to get a lot of viewers. Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
A game like that, So that's good. I think that's good to get in that slot maybe once in a while. So
you're going to have to take that Friday off.
You're so weak, man.
What do you mean weak? Come on, dude.
Dude, you'd be home by 11:30.
Oh, come on. No way.
Oh, come on.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our games definitely go longer than 3 hours. I'm talking 3.5 hours. Yeah, and getting out of that place. Come
on. That's true. Good point. Damn. Okay. So take Friday. I don't even know why I'm arguing. I'm just arguing with you to argue. And then Friday, October 18th against Pitt. That's a 7 p.m.
Very next
game.
Week.
I love that. Yeah, two in a row. And then, of course, before all those happen, we have Clemson, September 14th in the Dome. So 7:30 kickoff. That's going to be awesome. Maybe, possibly, a College Game Day appearance. That was for basketball.
We got snubbed
last year. Yeah.
So, it's becoming closer and closer to be able. There's not too many options that day, really.
Did you go look?
Well, they've kind of thrown it out there in a couple articles that I read, and there's really only three or four that would be close. And Alabama and South Carolina was one. I'm not going to remember all of them.
I mean,
but
that's not really. I don't know.
It depends. This all depends on what we do in the first. If we want that, obviously, we have to go to Liberty and win and go to Maryland and win. Otherwise, we probably won't be in that position because Clemson most likely will still be number one. I think right now, going into the season, I think we're ranked like 22nd, I think, in the way too early preseason polls.
Right.
But if we're ranked, I can't imagine that if we're not preseason ranked, then we'll be right outside of it. If we win our first two games on the road, we most likely will play our way into it. So it'd be two ranked opponents with Clemson coming in with our, you know, last 2 years of the history of our matchup. I think that's a perfect situation. And usually those College Game Day, they go to places that have those primetime slots. So I'm sure some of these other matchups that some people are thinking about might get eliminated once some of these times get announced. So
yeah, well,
to be determined,
either,
man.
Either way,
still.
I mean, it's great to have something like that—the recognition and the whole aura of it, and being in Syracuse and everything.
It's homecoming.
It's
the first home game.
Yep. So that would be awesome. It would be huge.
Retiring Tim Green's jersey at halftime.
Oh, are they? Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, that's cool. All right. Basketball. Now there was a bunch of basketball news, kinda. Well, we can make a show out of it, I suppose. Just a little tidbits. Andre Jackson, he was ranked 38th in ESPN's top 100 prospects in the class of 2020. He's played, actually, he was on the Albany City Rocks team, and he was teammates with Joe Girard. So those two know each other. I mean, he's a top recruit. We're talking, right now
So did Isaiah Stewart.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. You can poo-poo that because that means absolutely nothing. You're right. He was ranked 38th player in the latest version of the ESPN 60, so for the class of 2020. But he did.
Oh, he's a good player. Yeah.
Yeah. He sustained an elbow injury that kept him out part of the season, part of the early season last year. So, you know. Top-rated player. Yeah, exactly. Top-rated player, and we'll see if we can scoop him up. I mean, it can't hurt to try, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to get the 2020 recruiting class started somewhere. That'd be a good one. So
it would be. Brissett, he was in early circulations of the names on the G League camp. His was on it, and sure enough, he got invited. So he impressed. He impressed them enough to be invited.
Impressed and intrigued. Yeah.
Yeah. Impressed people in the NBA enough to be invited to the NBA combine. There was only 10 out of 40 players chosen. So he did good. He played really good his first game. I think he scored 15 points in one of his games. His team went 2-0 in that thing. So he had like 8 rebounds. I think he was like 1 for 3 from 3-point land, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, the day before he did some shooting drills, and I think he hit like 15 of 25 3-pointers that drill. So, yeah. Plus his body, I think he was an intriguing player. There's probably a lot of guys that they saw enough of, you know.
Yeah.
So, but some guys that they probably wanted to see more of, you know. Battle didn't make it because
he
was there last year, you know, and. They kind of got a gauge probably on where he's at, so.
Yeah. They do got a gauge, but, you know, Battle's going to do what Battle's going to do.
Well, there was reports today that
he's got workouts with 15 teams, I think, lined up, according to his dad.
Oh, Battle, yeah. But they had the preliminary, they had the first day combine And they had some measurables from Brissett. I think he was like he did some good things. So I think he had the lowest body fat percentage out of everybody. And obviously, you know, he's a strong player. He had I think the second or third best standing vertical jump. Yeah. So he had an average game when he did play 5-on-5, and there were some drills that he didn't participate in. So there's still a couple more days of this, and there'll be more. But yeah. For something that we kind of boo-hooed and poo-pooed on a little bit in the beginning, and like he's just going to go out and kind of get his feelers, you know, of course he's going to go out and actually, you know, perform. And, you know, I'm obviously, I'm not going to hate on a decision if but I in the beginning of this, I kind of thought, I was looking at it as like a battle situation from last year, or, you know, I thought it was kind of obvious, like, you know, after the season, he's just going out to put his feelers out there, but he's went there and he's performed. He's taken advantage of the situation, and now he's in the actual NBA combine. And if he can take advantage of that situation, then I mean, it's a real, real situation now, or position where he could definitely go to the draft.
Yeah, it is.
And it became a lot more real.
It became a lot more real. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's just going to have to look at, you know, where, then listen to the experts and see where he might land. But, you know, when you think about a Brissett coming back or not coming back, you know, what did Duke have? Three top five NBA prospects on their team last year. You know, one guy's not going to make a team. It would be nice to have him back, but it's not going to, it's not a make or break. And I felt the same way about Tyus last year. So, you know.
Well, I mean, we've kind of gotten used to this. Syracuse fans, right? A couple years, you got Malachi Richardson, Tyler Lydon, Tyler Ennis, Michael Carter Williams, Deion Waiters, these guys. I mean, we're at the point now where, I mean, I'm used to it at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, like you said, it's about winning
the game now.
Oh, yeah, it's about weighing his options and seeing if he wants to do what Battle did, come back, get his degree, you know, take summer classes, work hard over next season, get his degree, and then leave. You know, give it one more hurrah.
And he'll get professional advice. He's not just, you know, he's going to have, people are going to tell him, hey, you know, go, maybe you got a lot of potential. I'd go back to college one more year.
Well, yeah. And I mean, in some of the articles that I read too on Syracuse.com, he was, you know, they had interviewed him and he was talking about how he's learned in this process, especially going against all these hungry players, especially in the G League, because you got guys from the G League that are sitting here waiting for a chance. And, other guys that didn't get drafted at the combine that are trying to get those 10 spots. And, you know, there were some times I think we all thought, and I mean, I would challenge anybody if they wanted to talk about it or debate about it, about the fact that it looked like sometimes O'Shea Brissett, he checked out, or that he wasn't always playing as hard as he possibly could and maybe taking plays off and getting out of it. And
he definitely wasn't the same player from his freshman season. He definitely wasn't. And that's why we thought the way we thought. And that's why our opinion was formulated the way it was.
Well, my whole thought process of him was he just looked hungrier his freshman year. And his sophomore year, it looked like sometimes he was a little bit more out of sorts for some reason. I don't know if he was in his head or I don't really have an answer for it. But when he was in the game, focused, going hard, he usually always played pretty well.
Right.
But it was when he kind of looked like he was out there kind of just not really being aggressive. And I just think those were the times when Boeheim got just frustrated with him. And those were times when he took long, long, you know, stints on the bench this year. And there were times when he did that and it looked like he wasn't even into the game. So you go to a combine like that and play against guys like that with the hunger of those players and trying to get to the NBA, like you can't take a day off. You can't take a play off. Can't take a minute off. And he's learned that. And he talked about that was one thing that he did learn. And if he comes back to Syracuse, that's something he's going to try to come back and instill in the team and try to be a better leader and stuff like that. And I think that's something that we've sorely, sorely missed.
Oh,
so
we have no leadership. And it's like everybody's afraid to take the reins of that team for the past few years. So
And hearing that, and if he could take the hunger out of this experience and bring it back and him be hungry and actually, like, you know, show the team and be that leader, man, that would be a nice season to look forward to next year. But again, if he takes advantage of his situation and a team wants to draft him,
he's gonna be gone.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it is what it is. Like Joe said a minute ago, you know, We just deal with it. We move on. Next man up, man. It's just, you know, it is what it is. So, Battle's team. Oh, I had Brissett's stuff right here. Brissett, they went 2-0. He was 8 for 15 overall, 2 from 7 from the 3-point line. 3 of 3 from the charity stripe, and he did have 8 rebounds and 1 assist, totaled 21 points. Battle, his team in that combine went 1-1. He was 3 for 10 overall, 0 for 2 from the 3-point line, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He grabbed 9 rebounds, he had 2 assists, and he scored a total of 11 points. So, all right. All right, before we get into the final recruiting rankings for basketball, I'm going to tell you about MyBookie. Everybody who's listened, you guys know about MyBookie. I've used it. Joe's used it. I wouldn't recommend it to you if I thought it wasn't a good company. They have fast payouts, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way over there. You win. They pay. They have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fancy guys and gals out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code QS25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QS25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. You play, you win, you get paid. Dollar for dollar. I mean, you know, check the rollovers. Check the rollovers. You know, it's not for everybody. So do your research. If you don't do online betting or never have, I would check it out. But they're all kind of the same. So if you're going to do it, go with MyBookie.
Yep.
Promo code QS25. Okay. So the latest, I guess, it was a list, the rankings had right. Syracuse fallen from 27th in the ranking for the recruiting class to 30th as far as best in the nation. That's according to 247 Sports. So, and that, by the way, that puts us six, about middle of the row in the ACC, just hovering above it. But so we have, let's start with Bryson Goodheim. He was their first commitment, and he still remains at the top. He's number 91. Now the grades, Joe, can you explain the grades?
As far as
the grade, I don't understand. What is it based on? It's just this, just the athleticism, just everything combined. That's his grade, 96.
Well, essentially, all these recruiting services, they have their own criteria in how they scout these people, or players, I should say. And depending on, you know, you can go to a certain site if you like one or if you have one over another, but then there's also a composite score, which is basically the average of all the major recruiting services. So depending on which way you want to look at it. So, I mean, you can go to a scout.com, 247 Sports, and a bunch of other ones. But if you want the composite, the average, then, I mean, you can get that as well. So I think ESPN has grades as well. So, it all really just depends on what you prefer. But again, we all know that it's pretty much, you know, a crapshoot.
Right.
As far as these recruits go.
I mean,
you never really know.
He's our only top 100 player, according to ESPN. And he's a 96. Now we can go down to John Bolajak, who's, you know, he's a promising guy, I think, you know, center coming in. He's 450. He's ranked 452. And his grade's an 85. That's why I'm asking. It's not a ton of space in between there. And you're talking...
Well, no. And you're talking about, I mean, a lot of times when it comes down to it, you're talking about a point is 1,000 players, you know, or 100 players, you know. So, yeah. I mean, it's, again, you can't really look too much into it. I mean, it's all just numbers and it gets exciting, you know, clickbait. Just that kind of stuff, you know, ranked 30th. So as a Syracuse fan, you might look at it like, oh, we have 5 recruits and our recruiting class is 30th. Like, what the, you know, but.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, we finally got out of our sanctions to where we have all our scholarships back.
Yeah.
And we've seen what not having the depth has done to basically rely on just a handful of players for so many years. So now we have a chance. This is a perfect example of a class that can come in and the ones that we used to see where, you know, you might have a guy that's good enough to come in and contribute maybe two. Maybe a guy's going to be able to leave early, but for the most part, you got a handful of guys that are going to be able to contribute and also play, you know, 4 years, be 4 year players. You know, there's some guys where we don't really need, we're probably not going to need their services this year. So we can redshirt them and let them develop. And then, you know, they turn into, you know, 5 year players with a redshirt. And, you know, those type of teams and having those type of players, that's what we kind of always had as a Syracuse, you know, team. We always had that depth, those 4 year guys that could always carry the load. And then, you know, those younger guys that can come in and help contribute. And that's kind of what we've been used to, the makeup of these teams. And now we can finally use all our scholarships and see what's up. So yeah, we got a couple big guys coming in. Maybe one won't stick. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of times back in the day when we'd have these big recruits or recruiting classes and one might transfer because, you know, they just don't stick. But hey, this is what you got to do to kind of find, get back to
you're essentially rebuilding. You don't have scholarships for 3 years. You have to rebuild, and you can't do it. You know, I mean, rebuilding in college basketball is
right,
not really a thing. But I'm just saying, you know, with the type of program he runs, it's tough. You know,
right.
You know, the assistant coach left and, you know, this and that. So now my whole thing is, to be honest with you, like, let's look at, let's do Quincy Guerrier first. He was 115th. He was actually higher than Goodine. He was hovering around the 50s, according to 247. But he slipped. It makes him the biggest drop in the recruiting class, but he still sits second if you rank him from best to worst, according to the rank. But Jesse Edwards at 170, and this was a guy who I'm really excited about. I was shocked to see him at 170. And he wasn't even ranked on 247. And right? So, I mean, you know.
Well, he didn't start playing high school basketball in the United States, I think, until this past January.
Yeah.
So, a lot of this comes down to visibility, you know. Right. I mean, if you're on a high major AAU circuit and you're in a situation where you go to a prep school or you go to one of those big schools where you have that type of, you know, politics is a thing with this too, you know. So that's why a lot of times I don't put grades into it. And we know we run a 2-3 system, and we know that Boeheim looks for guys specific for his system. So again, I just kind of just put it in the hands of the fact that I just trust the coach and getting the guys in the system.
Yeah, they're, you know, the ones that go to the school. They're the ones that watch them. They're the ones that talk with them. They're the ones that that have one-on-ones with them. And
yeah,
so,
and there's little things that come with it, like John Bolzak, like we talked about, and we saw, like, at some point, either a sophomore or his junior year, he was a top 70 player. And then because of an injury, because of the lack of visibility, because he wasn't playing for a whole year, he probably missed his high school year and his AAU year. So by doing that, you're gonna drop. And that just happens. Just like Jesse Edwards, he didn't go through the AAU circuit. He came in January. I mean, you're talking, he's been, it's 6 months, and he launched all the way to 170. You're talking about a guy that, with 2 or 3 years of visibility since sophomore year, if he had that in the States, you're talking about probably a guy that's higher than that. So,
and let's not forget about the guys we already got too. Jesse Edwards, I think, is going to be a pleasant surprise. I think, especially being at center, and you know, maybe splitting time with Sidibe or whatever. I don't know, but
dude, his footwork and coordination is
it's so good.
Something we haven't seen in three plus years.
Yes.
Since Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas and Keita.
Yeah, right?
It's
so. It's been frustrating down low. And I mean, it really, it stifles the offense, man. It stifles. Yeah. If you can't run pick and rolls and all this stuff, it's the same stuff we talked about.
Chukwu, he's shown flashes. They've shown flashes, but you need a consistency
Consistency, man. Consistency. It's like Dino Babers' thing. Not occasionally great, but consistently good. It's what you need down there. And so, anyways, Joe Girard, this one shocked me, but I mean, whatever. It's fine. Oh, and I was going to say, let's not forget about the young guys that didn't get a ton of playing time last year, like the Braswells. And, you know, we had the issue with
Jalen Carey.
Jalen Carey, but we had the issue with Howard Washington, too. I don't see how that pans out. You know, he was out all year.
Right.
So it's going to be exciting, man. You're excited about
football. Dude, open season.
Yeah. Totally.
Especially if Brissett goes too.
Well, I'm just going to count on it right now. I think it's a huge bonus. He comes back, and with you know, what you were talking about with right. with him having motivation to motivate, motivation to be a leader, that would be that would be just huge. It would be.
Yeah.
Just
if he came, at this point, if he came back, then my expectations would be. I mean,
I know.
Right now, I have two different expectations depending on what he does at this point.
Right. All right.
Because I would love to see a hungry, motivated O'Shea Brissett. Because I think he's a fan favorite. I think people want him to do good. They want him to be great. And I don't think we got to really capture. As a freshman, he did great, but it wasn't his peak. And then I think he progressed a little bit. And I think. It was a little.
I think he's distracted, man. We talked about
a couple little things,
it.
But at the end of the day, to be able to have him come back as a junior and be able to see him focused and already gone through what he's gone through these past couple weeks, talk about fan favorite, man.
Yeah, I know, and he's great, man. I mean,
he could have such a great year.
He could. He has an opportunity to take the team by the reins and do something special.
And put up double-doubles really like Billy Owens and Derek Coleman.
And get really
recognized. Not to be that, you know, dominant, but he has that type of talent. He just has to know it and do it and have that hunger.
Yep. Joe Girard he's ranked 188. And, you know, the more – I was so high on Joe Girard. I'm so excited about Joe Girard. Every time I, like, read something or talk to some people sometimes, I'm just like – You know, I'm not an all-in type of fan either. I'll never be like, you know, some people think that Joe Girard's the saving grace and he's just going to come in and it's going to be, you know, Joe Girard's team right off the bench, you know, freshman year. And I'm not buying that. I'm also not buying the idea that because he played in kind of a smaller league or whatever, that he kind of dominated, that he might not be able to make a difference right away. Because he can shoot the ball. I mean, he does shoot the ball. And he did, you know, well, I got a clip we'll play in a little bit of coach. But so that's the final player ranking. Syracuse ranks 30th.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit as far as, I mean, he didn't
Trevor
have
Cooney?
The national, huh?
You going to say Trevor Cooney?
No.
Well,
I'm going to say Trevor Cooney. The way that he did what he did, and obviously he's probably a better shooter. He's definitely a better shooter, but... he kind of reminds me almost of like he wasn't as highly like remember Greg Paulus?
Yeah, absolutely.
You remember Greg Paulus? Yeah. In high school and everything, he was. I mean, he won state championships, and you know, I mean, I don't know if he did in basketball, but I know that they were winning sectionals and making it to states, and I know he won state championships in football, and he was highly recruited in basketball and football, but just to have. To play those two positions and to be that successful and to be that type of leader, like if you were to say that at minimum Joe Girard was going to be a Greg Paulus, would you be happy with that?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. And he's got a jumper, and I think that's the type of attitude and leadership he brings. Now, obviously, there's different little things. I'm not saying they're the same player, but that's just kind of because they're both from New York State. They both played in that type of competition. They were both – you know, those same positions and the leaders and bringing able to do what they did to bring their high schools to, you know, state championships. So that's the type of player that you're going to get as far as leader, vocal leader, being on the court and being able to trust that type of guy. And whether he plays the first year or not, I think that he's going to be somebody that is going to be a contributor, like contribute to success in years to come in Syracuse.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. This whole team's going to be so interesting. It's going to be so much fun, and hopefully we're going to get to watch them, you know, over the summer a little bit, actually. At least we'll see highlights. But so,
well, they're taking a trip.
Yeah, they're taking a trip.
So we're going to be able to see that. I'm sure we're going to be able to somehow stream those games.
Yeah.
And that'll be good.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second. You were mentioning Greg Paulus, and I'm like, I forgot to tell you about – do you remember Dave Syok? Is it Dave Syok?
Yes.
You remember Dave Syok?
The center?
Yeah, late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like 6'10", 6'11". Mm-hmm. Well, he's a teacher in Virginia Beach.
Oh, really?
He's a high school teacher in Virginia Beach. Yeah. So nice. I was working for someone. I had an SU. I was measuring something in someone's house. I had an SU hat on or something. She started talking to me. She's a teacher at the school with him.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, "Oh, he's one of the teachers at our school." And I'm like, "No kidding! Dave Sylock was so weird. I haven't heard that name in forever. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was funny. So,
hey, if you're a true Syracuse basketball fan, you know who Dave Sylock is.
Yeah, dude. That's funny, man. So anyway, we've got...
Small world.
Yeah, I know, right? And I was wondering if he is from here, but I never looked. So the NCAA is thinking about changing up a couple things, and one of those things is the shot clock proposal. This one I really like, and the other one I like, but I don't like it as much as this one. Shot clock proposal is this: when you get an offensive rebound, the shot clock doesn't reset to 30; it resets to 20. So we
love
put
it.
Out. We
love
put,
it.
Yeah, I love that one. Anything like? Let's see. Let's see. Let's go right to Twitter. Let me see if anybody said anything. Sorry about the Twitter, man. I'm just like the off season and the Twitter just is like I let other people do that the heavy lifting. I'll do the easy stuff during the year. So anyway, we put polls out. So ask what you thought about that changing the clock shot clock from 30 to 20 after an offensive rebound. 13% undecided. 30% don't like it, and 57% say hell yes. Bring that on. Yeah. So
I thought that number would be higher.
So would I, especially if you're a Syracuse fan. I assume that these are all Syracuse fans.
Right.
You know what I mean? So at TonyCuse44, he says he loves anything that speeds up the pace of play and increased scoring. Now let's tackle the insane amount of time replay consumes. Yeah. How about a shot
Roger
clock?
That.
How about a shot clock for a replay clock? How about that? A replay clock. Set it at a minute. You got a minute to make that decision, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't care how much time's left in the game, but I say that, and then I think, man, definitely don't want to.
Dude, I say that you have somebody like that's maybe at the actual game that's somewhere in like a box that's got these monitors that can sit here and just look through the replay real quick, because you know what happens is coaches go crazy and they want to do the replay and there's stuff going on. And there's a lot of different little things going on that sometimes the refs really can't concentrate and go straight to it. So you put somebody up there to where as soon as immediately you know that it's being reviewed, you got somebody already up there. The refs go up, put on the damn headphones, and somebody else tells you what the hell happened, and boom, boom.
And if you
because there's too much distraction going on out there in the court for that stuff to be, you know, and then this guy's got to look at it. This guy's got to look at it. You got fans yelling at you. There's people looking at you. Then they got to bring in the other ref. Like, if you have one person in solitary with these monitors just watching to get the right call, you have those refs go over to the board, put on the headphones. That person tells you the call, kind of just like football.
If you would stop talking for take a breath for 2 seconds, I was going to tell you, did you watch any of that football league? What was that football league? Was it the one that was
the American Allegiance AAF or whatever?
Yeah, well, anyways, I watched a couple of those games just because it was fun. You know, it was like some big hits and stuff like that. So they had this woman up in the booth, and she went through a replay like by herself and talked it out with people downstairs as she was going through it. Like, it took her no time, man. She was like, look, here's the deal. You know, you got to know the rules, and you got to have one person. You can't have a bunch of people chirping in your ear. You can't have fans throwing stuff at you. You know?
That's what I mean. Yeah, there's so much distraction down there.
Yeah, I know.
So much distraction.
So, let's see. Syracuse at Clark Stant says Syracuse would be one of the biggest benefactors of this, along with moving out the three-point line, which is the other one. He says he loves it. That's me. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
With that. SHRS Sports Mike. I don't know. SHRS Port Mike. He says no way. Punishes the team that bangs the boards and follows their shots. Fundamental part of the game. No chance. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I may be.
Well, that doesn't mean that it's got to go back to 30.
Right.
You're getting another possession.
Yeah, I know. It's 10 seconds, so, I mean.
Right. You know. I mean, who cares? Most of the time when you get an offensive rebound, you put it right back up.
Yeah, most of the time, unless you're trying to kill clock, which is,
which is what's going to help us.
Right, exactly.
Because of the lack of possessions, we give up a lot of offensive rebounds, and most teams, you know, they shoot three-pointers. A lot of shooting three-pointers against us. So moving the three-pointers back helps us. And also doing that helps us because when teams do get offensive rebounds, it definitely shortens the next possession.
Yeah, so moving the three-point line back from 20 foot 9 inches to 22 feet 1 and 3 quarters inches.
What is it, like 14 inches?
Well, 2.9. Something like so that. 3. I don't know. Whatever.
No, you're trying to math, bro. Yeah, don't
why'd
try to
you
math.
Why'd you put me on the spot with the math, dude? So it doesn't matter.
I figured
matter.
You already did it.
It's like, no, I didn't. So it's, yeah, whatever. Anyway. Anyway, that is the, what is that? That's the international three-point line. So we did a poll on that as well, and 11% were undecided. 20% were a no-go with that, and 69% said that they love it. I'm in the 69%. I think it's a great idea. I think they're taking most of those shots back from back around that line anyway, around that area.
Well, a lot of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
Right. And either way, I think the NBA line's a little bit farther than the international line.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, if you plan on playing professionally, you're either going to be playing in the NBA or international. So at minimum, you should at least be playing at the three-point line that's the minimal between NBA and international. You know what I mean? So it'll help everybody. And it helps, you know, against teams that want to just chuck the three against us. So.
Right. So anyway, well, I'm for it. And so, and we could see this as soon as 2021. So okay. They are also talking about a couple other things as far as that goes. And that would be the flagrant two fouls, which include ejections. They're thinking about assessing those if they hear derogatory epithets. So I think that's a good one, you know, and maybe will calm some guys down. So if you're out there cussing someone out or you're calling someone, you know, derogatory names, which, you know, you hear the mic pick them up in the NFL sometimes.
Yeah, there's no place for that.
No, there's no place for that. And we were just talking about replay reviews and how about putting a replay clock on that? Well, now they're going to include, or when they want to propose it to include basket interference and the goaltending calls in the final 2 minutes of regulation or overtime. So that's like one weird game where we have an issue.
No, it was an important game.
It was an important game.
That's
but
usually
it was one
what
game.
Happens.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
I know.
It's usually something weird like that happens and everyone calls for craziness and then the NCAA has to look and see if we have to put it in for review. So, hey.
Right.
So, the last 2 minutes is a crucial part of the game. So if you get parts like that where it's actually, you know, because I'm pretty sure UCF beats Duke.
That's true. That's true. There's a bunch of stuff going on down there, and pushing the back and all sorts of stuff. So
it's literally where that rule came from.
So anyway, that'll be fun. We'll see what happens. But here's another thing. One more football story, or basketball story, and then we'll let you guys go. So they're going to take a trip to Italy. And I'm going to play coach here in a second, but this is what we were talking about. I'm sure they're going to stream these games. It's going to be a little sneak peek into Syracuse basketball early over the summer. And, you know, if there's anything to be excited about, it's that, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm just going to say.
Well, yeah.
So,
dude, that's how you grow a team.
Right.
You're going to go to another country with just you as a team, and you're going to play against, I'm assuming, some type of maybe, you know, scrimmage against some type of professional team or something like that. Maybe collegiate teams over there. I don't know. But either way, when you go out there, you're kind of out of whack and all you have is your team. So that's where you get bonding and that's where you get that extra work. So
Brandon Church, by the way, killing it over there in the Italian league. So, well, coach was on a show, MSG, and it was co-hosted at the time, I think, just temporarily by none other than John Wallace. And so here's Coach.
Coach, a big summer for you guys. You're taking the crew over to Italy. Tell us about that and how that's going to go for you.
Well, you know, we try to go overseas when we have a young team. We have 5 freshmen coming in, 5 sophomores, and 3 juniors, no seniors. So we're losing a lot of veteran firepower this year. So I think for these young guys to be able to have 10 practices, play 4 games in Italy, and then you know, you get to eat a lot of good food over there, too. So I think we're all looking forward to the trip. We're going to great cities, Florence and Venice and Lake Como, and then down and finish in Rome. So it's a great trip, and I think it'll be a really good basketball experience. Normally, when we go on a foreign trip, we have great years. That extra time does help. Well, Joe is a tremendous player. He's a player of the year in the state. He led his team to the state championship in basketball and in football. He's a tremendous competitor. But he has an adjustment. He's coming from a smaller league, but he's an unbelievable competitor and shooter. And we need shooting. I think he'll be able to help us right away. You know, we think we have five freshmen that can help us. We have two 6'11 kids and a 6'7 and two guards. So we think our freshmen are going to help us. We got a really good sophomore class and a couple really good juniors. So I like the makeup of our team. We kind of struggled a little bit up and down the last 2 years, but I think this team has a chance to be really good. And just a question of our backcourt will be freshmen and sophomores, and, you know, to see how they adjust to college basketball.
That's going to be the big one, I guess.
Yeah.
Those younger guys adjusting. We saw the adjustments with Buddy Boeheim, though, over the course of last year. I thought he did good until the heat was really turned up. But he had his moments, though. And, you know, a player like him, he's going to be coming in a sophomore, and he'll be able to teach those young guys a lot in the pace of the game. So,
yeah. Well, traditionally, they talk about, you know, coaching and experienced guard play when it comes to being able to lead your team deep into tournaments and stuff like that. So, obviously, we don't have that going for us this year, and that is going to be the big question. But doing a trip like that can do nothing but help. And again, we talked about it. There's really not going to be too many locked up starting spots. There's going to be competition, a lot of young players, like Boeheim said. So, you know, at the end of the day, this trip is going to help. And again, it's going to be exciting.
It's going to help, but the thing about it is getting some kind of continuity. Right. All these young players coming in and having some kind of, you know, some live action play with all of them and getting to know one another. That's where I think
leave your egos at the door.
Exactly.
And I mean, I think we have a lot of guys that are like that are humble, that don't mind. I mean, Joe Girard's a perfect example if he can come in and help. But I mean, he is a great shooter, but you could see the difference of if you were to look at his stats at the, you know, Albany City AAU team, compared to his stats in Glens Falls. I mean, he was a chameleon as far as being able to step up and play his role. He knew what he had to do in Glens Falls, you know. But then he went to AAU and played against a lot of talented players, and he knew what he had to do there, and he did it very well. So a player like that, I mean, and, you know, Buddy Boeheim has been a guy that's done that. So Dolje, you know, we've had a lot of selfless players, and that's only going to help.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, and the last time that we did do one of these trips was, I think, 2013. We went to Canada, not that far. It's a little bit of a different trip, but that was Tyler Ennis coming in as a true freshman, and that seemed to work out pretty well. I mean, the NCAA tournament was a little bit of a disappointment, losing to Dayton in the second round, but that was one of the more exciting seasons we've had since we won the national championship with Carmelo Anthony.
Right. Starting
25-0, 28-6, 14-4 in the ACC with a 3 seed. I mean, that was...
Yeah, you just lost to... You got upset.
that Pittsburgh buzzer beater.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a great year. So, I mean, there's no doubt, like he said, like Boeheim said, that kind of stuff helps. And it's only going to help this team. It's a very young team, but it's very talented. And again, you never know what you're going to get. So,
yeah, definitely. Well, we'll have to see. I enjoy the chatter of it, though.
Nice. The speculation of it, of course. Yeah. But
so, I would love... Well, we should have done... We can do fan feedback for that or something, maybe. See if we can provoke some thoughts out of all y'all.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that's all I got, Joe. You got anything else, buddy?
I'm all set, bro.
All right, well, that is it for us. Thanks to James on guitar. Thanks to MyBookie. Thanks to SeatGeek. Thanks to all of you for listening. We appreciate it. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.